Jeff Hardy here for PS10, and I'm here with another interview. And this time I have two wonderful experts, and this is a subject matter that I know many of you are really interested in, either as therapists and or actual users, actual people looking for solutions to some of these problems. And this is all about achieving your natural weight. In fact, I have the co-authors here of the new book coming out here called Achieve Your Natural Weight, Resolve Your Unconscious Reasons for Emotional Overeating. So this call is going to be about the problems of emotional eating, emotional overeating. It's about comfort eating. And so I have two wonderful ladies here from opposite ends of the earth. So this is incredible to get all this together. We've got Hawaii here today. We've got England and Australia. And I have Sally Baker, who's a registered hypnotherapist, an advanced EFT and PS Tech practitioner, and also a licensed hypnogastric band practitioner. She'll probably tell you a little bit about that. She's been in therapy practice for over 10 years, and her specialty is about losing weight. It's about achieving your natural weight. And her co-author is Liz Hogan. She's also a registered hypnotherapist, advanced diploma in hypnotherapy and hypnoanalysis, a licensed trainer in Meridian Therapies, licensed hypnoband practitioner as well. Liz right now resides in Melbourne, Australia, and Sally over in London, England. Welcome, ladies. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Hi. Lovely to be here.
I appreciate you taking the time here, spending some time with us here, and giving people a little... I want to say a little preview, but I know, because I've done an interview with Sally several months ago when I first met her, there was a wealth of information there when we got together, and I think we were on the phone for about an hour. No, I think it was about an hour and a half. So I know you're going to give me some great information, right, Sally?
We're certainly going to try, between the two of us, yeah.
And now with Liz, well, it's like, okay, we could be here for hours, right? No, I'm just kidding. I wanted to start this out because this, like I said, it's a very hot topic. It's a very serious situation because it appears that the issue of being overweight and especially obesity and all of the things that come along with it, all of the medical issues, diabetes, the heart problems, breathing, etc. There's so many issues there. It appears from the press, from the medical reports, from the statistics, that things are getting worse. And I know that diets have been out there, and one of the things I wanted to comment on as I was looking into this whole subject matter, when I look up weight loss on the internet, another word seems to be synonymous out there, and that's the word fast or quick. And obviously it's not working, but people are still looking for fast and quick things. You know, I want to start out here and mention, you know, I've taken a look at what Sally and Liz have to offer here, not just in the book, but in their programs. They're not just dealing with people locally where they are living. They're now working through the internet, which is such a wonderful tool, via Skype, via phone, really being able to help more and more people, and this is wonderful. Just wanted to mention, I've been looking at what they have to offer here, and there's some incredible, incredible things, and we're going to kind of go over, not so much, you know, in detail what they're offering, but a little bit about their philosophy and their approach and some of the tools that they're using. So this is going to be really exciting for a lot of you out there. I'm going to start throwing out some questions at these two because I know they have the answers, okay? I've done some research myself and looked at some things, but these two have been in the trenches with people and really working hard with them. I think trying to find some solutions for people to make it a little, I want to say a little more gentle, a little more effortless. I'm going to start with my first question that popped up as I went through some of this. And one of the things that Sally and Liz, you mentioned in your book was the simplification that people are overweight because they have no willpower or that they are greedy ignores the unconscious reasons that compel many people to overeat. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, Jeff, this is Sally here. By the time clients come to seek help from a therapist about their overeating, they are massively practiced dieters and have been probably for most of their lives, and it doesn't work for them. Weight loss is followed by weight gain, and nothing really changes fundamentally. How we work either one-to-one with clients or with a group situation, is that by breaking down, resolving and releasing the subconscious reasons that are deeply buried of why people feel compelled to overeat or turn to food to comfort themselves, when we release those emotions, then the changes to how they live and what they eat are very much easier to put into place. Would you agree with that, Liz?
Absolutely. I often tell my clients that diets have a 5 to 10% success rate. Now, you couldn't put a product on the market with such a low success rate and expect it to sell. But the saddest thing is that the clients believe that they've failed, when in actual fact the diets have failed them. They're not set up to work. And if they were, you wouldn't need the squillion of them that are out there now.
It's true.
So basically, you really need to address the emotional stuff that's going on. And it, you know, people think, oh no, I just like food. You know, it's not true. It may be habitual, but it, you know, even habits can be quite emotional. And that stuff just needs to be addressed before changes can happen.
Yeah, there's kind of a, you know, and I work with people on, I haven't really worked with very many people as far as weight loss, but in other emotional issues, using TS Tech in particular, and EFT actually. On one hand, they're not successful, so they blame themselves.
Mm.
And that creates a spiral, right?
For sure, completely.
And they're looking on the outside for the solution. And, of course, the diet plans are saying, oh, yeah, this works. Just look at the celebrity we brought on here. That, and sometimes they have a celebrity that never was overweight or not by much. Or now they are bringing on celebrities that were overweight, and now they have a before and after picture. And they're looking at the picture and going, well, it worked for them, and it doesn't work for me, so I must be broken or something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I saw a quote from one of the medical journals about one of their biggest concerns, and one of the quotes was, popular diets have become increasingly prevalent and controversial. More than 1,000 diet books are now available. I'm wondering if that's a little low on the low side, with many popular ones departing substantially from any mainstream medical advice. In other words, you know, things that are actually practical, they have them doing some crazy stuff.
Yes.
And there's some concern about this, and I think rightly so. So what you're saying here is, and I think this is what most people are told, well, you just don't have good enough willpower, or, you know, you're just greedy. And that's not even addressing the unconscious reasons, and in fact, it may be strengthening those unconscious reasons to stay and, well, continue overeating and stay overweight, right?
Well, it will certainly underline feelings of failure and low self-esteem. With obesity levels at such high numbers now, the argument out there is that it can't be because of emotional drivers that are making people overweight, because there are so many people overweight now. But the problem with society's judgments about people who are carrying excess weight is that they are marginalized in the job market, they are bullied, they're looked down upon, they feel a lot of self-blame, and that really, really eats into their self-esteem. So a lot of our work is about empowering the person to have to step up in their own lives, to feel that they can have an influence and an effect on their own well-being, but doing it from a position of self-worth and self-deserving instead of self-blame and self-hatred. I think it's really key.
Can I say this right? You're kind of taking a gentle approach, if you will.
Taking a very gentle approach, and we're taking a self-forgiving approach. Doing work on self-forgiveness is really essential to treating oneself with kindness and self-love. This is not about beating yourself up. This is about beginning to honor and respect yourself and acknowledge that the things that you've put your body through have been the very best you could do, often under very difficult circumstances, and to forgive yourself. And then to accept that you are ready to make changes and ready to bring healing to yourself.
I like what you said. You said practiced dieters. Well, I'm not sure I liked what you said, but it's an important point you brought up. Because I'm wondering here, when someone's a practice, in other words, they've practiced dieting, they've practiced, they've done it over and over again, and nothing's happening, doesn't that create a new belief system, if they didn't already have it, that, hey, it doesn't matter what I do, it's not going to work? So there's some belief systems going on here that are getting piled upon others and can be kind of complex, right?
It's incredibly complex. It's more complex than any other therapeutic work, because with stopping smoking or stopping Class A drugs or anything else that people are abusing in their lives, you could stay away from those things. But with food, our aim is to engender and encourage a relationship with food where you are comfortable around food, completely normalized about food, eat and enjoy your food, and have it as an expression of your self-worth. I only want to eat good, nourishing food because I deserve healthy, nourishing food. How about you, Liz?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we generally when clients come in, by the time they get to see us, I would like a dollar for every time I have heard, "You are my last hope."
Yes.
Because they have tried every diet known to mankind and failed. And they're absolutely desperate, totally desperate. And it's really wonderful to be able to work with them and bring about changes very easily and very gently. They don't have to be dragged through the hedge backwards feeling terrible. It's very easy to move the emotional drivers that cause the problem. It doesn't have to hurt. It's wonderful to see.
EFT is a fantastic tool for revealing the unconscious drivers to overeating and bringing them out, just often for the first time, having a client say out loud or to themselves, "Wow, that's in there. I didn't even realize that was in there." And bringing it out is part of taking away its power and beginning to release and let go of blocks to their changes in behavior that have kept them stuck and overweight for a long, long time. And PS Tech can just completely turn down, collapse, remove any emotional negative feelings attached to those previous beliefs. It's a brilliant partnership.
So what you're doing is you're changing their mind model, how they think about this whole subject of, well, I'm not going to say that. Again, correct me if I'm wrong here. Not so much that you're changing their mind about, and that's why I enjoy the title of the book. Not so much that you're changing their mind about losing weight. You're changing their mind about their natural weight, their natural self, and allowing that to come out. But then the weight loss comes along with that. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. I think we are changing their mind about themselves, and then their weight reduction becomes a manifestation of them feeling empowered and having higher self-esteem and feeling better about themselves and raising their own bar, because they want better things for themselves. They want different things for themselves.
But there's stuff in the way, right? There's obstacles. True.
The resistance is the core of our work. The resistance is overlaid and complex and has been, as you said, layer upon layer. And we go in with them and very gently reveal what some of those blocks might be. And the resistance is another word for fears, really, the fear of change. And then we can release the fear attached to those thoughts with EFT and PS Tech. And then those blocks just drop away. They don't need that strategy anymore. They've outgrown it. They've outlived it. It doesn't serve them. What would you like to say about that, Liz?
I totally agree. That is what the work is all about. That's key.
It is all about the resistance, isn't it? And it takes many forms.
That reminds me here of something that I noticed in your book, Kathy Leach, The Overweight Patient, A Psychological Approach to Understanding and Working with Obesity. She said in her clinical experience, staying overweight and overeating are survival decisions. That is to say, the patient has an unconscious belief until it's brought into awareness that he or she will not survive unless he or she overeats or remains obese. So it's not just about, well, I prefer to go and eat this large dessert rather than maybe something natural. Or it's not just about that. There's something in the body that's telling them they have to do this. It's do or die. This sounds like a trap, okay? And what I mean by that is someone's trying to discover their ideal and natural weight. If they just focus on diet and exercise, I'm kind of picturing the subconscious mind setting up this little trap down the road. They open up the trap door, and it's like a slide that goes all the way back where they started.
Absolutely. That happens. We know that happens all the time. The yo-yo dieting is a sign of that, a complete indication of that. And Kathy Leach's quote about obesity being a survival strategy, we see it in clients all the time, especially when we do regression work and take them back to a point in their lives when they were powerless and under great threat. And they can often remember, or it can just evolve through the EFT work that they can bring up a memory of, I would be safer if I was bigger. And just having that belief in their system that I am safer if I am bigger, or it is not safe for me to be smaller, is enough for people to completely and regularly self-sabotage against their conscious application of diets and cutting back on their foods, because it won't work. Their subconscious can't allow it to work.
Right.
So you see that too, don't you, Liz?
All the time. All the time.
The
other interesting thing is it doesn't have to be a trauma in the sense of what we might believe a trauma to be. But it can be something that was very intense in the mind of a child, because children don't have the wisdom to process a lot of information that's coming to them. For example, working with a client whose father wouldn't let the children eat enough food to survive, really. As an adult, the moment she got hungry, she just went into a state of panic. And so, you know, I'm working with a very, very overweight client. But we just have to let go of the emotions that are driving her, because her subconscious is not going to allow her to lose weight because it's unsafe. It's a dangerous thing to do because she will go hungry and she could starve.
Yeah. And Liz and I have both had clients who have memories of being children where food was either, where the home was chaotic because of mental health issues with the mother or absent mother, all sorts of issues, where if the family home was chaotic and not a safe place and food was not a regular given a sustaining nourishment, and that the children, the young people can remember going hungry, they will hugely resist even feeling slightly hungry in their grown-up years. So when we assess with clients, so when you eat, if your hunger level is 0, I'm not hungry at all, and 10 is I'm ravishingly hungry, where do you eat on that kind of scale? And some clients can only allow themselves to get to a 1 or a 2 on the hunger scale, which means that they are grazing and eating the whole of the time, not because they're hungry, not ever about no willpower. It's because they're keeping at bay the fears, the deeply entrenched fears they have of hunger. And that's where we need to go in, release those fears, resolve those issues, and then it's perfectly safe for them to feel hungry because they are an adult with lots of creative and comprehensive ways of feeding themselves.
We're getting into some reasons for staying overweight. You've mentioned several already. But first, I wanted to kind of get clear on this. If I ask just about anyone that is, let's say they're at least 25 pounds overweight, so that could include obese situations as well as someone that's just kind of moderately overweight, right? But if I ask, do you want to remain overweight, I'm betting at least 80 to 90% will say, well, I don't want to stay this way. I can't. So they're not consciously wanting to be overweight, right? But they also seem to feel helpless, which you kind of touched on in the beginning. They're coming to you going, you know, I don't know what to do. When we're dealing with all of these subconscious hidden things, is this a long process, you know, getting into some of these? You know, some people don't like the idea of, well, I don't want to relive everything.
Sure.
Without going into too much detail, what are we doing here with this?
Okay, it's certainly not a long process. with working one-to-one with clients or in group workshop situations, we would expect and hope for significant shifts in beliefs and behavior within 6 to 7 weeks. When you ask a client on a conscious level, do you want to, are you ready to lose your excess weight? Then they will consciously say, yes, of course I want to lose my excess weight. That's why I'm here. But it's funny because in group sessions, years and years ago, we used to start the group session with a simple muscle testing exercise. Do you remember, Liz?
Yes.
So we would run a little muscle testing exercise with clients who had joined the group, paid their fees, come along to see us, and we'd do this muscle testing. And to a man and a woman, they would all show on the muscle testing that they were not ready to lose their weight. But then you work with them with EFT and PS Tech, and you're no longer working at the conscious levels. You're working at the subconscious levels of resistance. And that's where you can do the release, and that's where you make the changes. And when those changes are made, when all of the resistance to change has been released, it's a different person. You see a different person when they come to the face-to-face sessions. They're animated, they're engaged. Things shift, and it shows in a myriad of different ways. And that's how we work with clients.
Now, okay, so you've mentioned, okay, in that subconscious, somewhere in the mind, there's the memory of everything that happened. And at some point, usually when we're young, probably 0 to 10, somewhere in there, we begin to learn our, is that how you put it, relationship with food, right?
Yes, that's a good term, yeah.
Okay, so we have these experiences that happen, traumas. They define how we look at food, and then we're off and running. and then we do it over and over again and strengthen it, so to speak, right? But my question is, so does everyone have a trauma that's causing that? Because it sounds like the trauma is the cause, right? And if that's
it's
true,
not,
I mean, does everyone have these?
As Liz mentioned earlier, it doesn't have to be a trauma as we recognize a trauma. It doesn't have to be a massively traumatic event. It can also be if you're lonely or disaffected, and you compensate and commiserate often with food. It's in how we use food in society now, in Western society, is that food is a source of celebration and a way of bringing joy into our lives. And it's also something we do often on our own as a way of commiserating with ourselves for a tough day at work or something similar, or a tough drive home, or the kids driving you nuts, or an absent husband who's working long hours and never home. All kinds of things can make us turn to food instead of for sustenance, for comfort.
When you're talking, you're mentioning trauma. It doesn't have to be trauma per se. When we're children, you know, we can often be made to eat everything on our plate. We're not allowed to leave the table until our plate is empty. We're rewarded with basically junk food. So what we're doing then as children is setting up belief systems. And often we feel, we're made to feel as though we're not good unless we clean our plate.
Mm.
So it's very difficult then, when you're an adult, to leave food on your plate because you've got a very strong belief that it's a bad thing to do. And often it's a myriad of those small things that can build up to cause huge weight gain over a long period of time, and then these people find it almost impossible by themselves to address these issues. And yet using EFT and PS Tech can be very quick and very simple and incredibly painless to let those beliefs go.
Well, and I was looking at this in your book you had mentioned, and you've already talked about that here today, about establishing for each and every individual a sense of self-worth, self-esteem, self-love, self-validation, so that they can then come from that position, I would call it of empowerment, and decide better yet, agree with the conscious self that says, yes, I'm ready to lose weight. So you're
getting
the subconscious into harmony with the conscious. Does that make sense? Right?
That makes complete sense. We talk with our clients about this is the last time you will need to lose this weight. This is about embracing good health and well-being and setting the quality as much as mere mortals can for the rest of their lives. It's hugely important, but this is not coming from any kind of judgment or punitive outlook. This is coming from a complete self-ownership of I'm ready. I'm ready and I'm stepping up. And they're able to be ready and to step up because their mind and their body are working in accord to the same end, which is to achieve their natural weight as a manifestation of their self-worth and value.
You mentioned the goal is autonomy and empowerment. And going back to the beginning of this conversation, we were talking about how people have tried diets and they failed because they looked on the outside for people to tell them what to do, so to speak. And they failed, and therefore it'd say, well, I'm broken and I can't be fixed, so to speak. And then you know, they do show up at your doorstep and desperate situation because, you know, their health is going, they're not comfortable, you know, life isn't joyful, or they're not enjoying, or they're not having Jeep, as I like to call it, joy, enthusiasm, excitement, or peace, or they have very little of it. So what you're doing early on, quite often people are being blamed, saying, hey, you don't have the willpower and you're greedy. So they are being blamed, but the funny thing is the people that are doing the blaming are the ones that put them on this path in the first place in some manner. So what I'm seeing here is that we're brushing away this blame, like you said, through self-forgiveness, if you will, developing that self-worth, self-esteem, self-love, self-validation, so that they can take, I want to say this with a capital T, true autonomy, empowerment, true responsibility for their life and how they're doing it.
Yeah.
It's kind of long-winded, but does that make sense?
It does make sense. It makes sense when we remember that that carrying excess weight is this merely a manifestation of life out of balance. And I want to come back to the book in as much that when Liz and I first began working with clients and focusing on weight reduction and achieving your natural weight, we didn't put any guidelines in place about a food plan. And we just said, you know, just carry on eating and just, you know, look at what you're eating. And we kind of did a lot of work on people who have experiences of zoned out eating, where you eat and you have no recollection of that you've eaten stuff. So we kind of do all that release work. But in the book, we've put together a very simple eat plan, which is just about eating clean, nutritious food that you on the whole, pretty much self-cook, because you just don't know what you're going to be buying in when you buy pre-prepared foods. And the whole moving someone from I don't cook for myself to a person who can put together simple, quick, really nourishing food is a great thing because, again, it's an expression of self-worth. I become someone who I am worth nourishing. And that's fundamental. So part of the whole achieve your natural weight is a clean eat plan where you would eat for nourishment and for sustenance and stay sustained and full throughout your day. There's never any idea that people would go hungry or go without or have any sense of deprivation. This is about raising one's game, not going without.
So we've talked about self-worth, self-esteem, self-love, self-validation, personal responsibility, autonomy, empowerment. I mean, that's a pretty tall order, wouldn't you say? So, you know, I have to conclude, bottom line, it's not going to happen overnight. You know, actually, I think you've actually addressed this a little bit. But, you know, how long is this going to take? And so let's say whatever amount it takes, and I know it's not overnight, which I think is a good thing, because the problem is, people have been looking for how do I get, lose weight quick, do it fast, do it easy, meaning I don't have to do anything, I can still eat chocolate cake four times a day, or that's not happening, it's not working. That's the bottom line, it's not working. So it is going to take some time. Generally, how long is it going to take? But in the interim, as you move along, can someone feel good in the short term while they're on this path of change, of shifting?
I know working face-to-face with clients here in London, I expect and achieve with my clients when they shift to the clean eating plan, an 8 to 9 pound weight loss in the first week. It's not going to be replicated. It's going to fall down to 2 to 3 pounds a week thereafter, and they're going to eat better and more than they've eaten for years. People who skip breakfast get to have a breakfast. People who, you know, have just a donut for lunch get to eat great food. They see it over a matter of days and weeks in their skin condition, the brightness of their eyes, the how their hair feels. We do we recommend an enhanced body care pack, which is our dry body brushes and body oil, where you dry body brush and improve your lymphatic drainage system, which is a major detoxifying organ in your body. So you're shedding, you're detoxing with these brushes and the body oil. So your complexion and your whole demeanor feels different after 2 to 3 days with that. And if people have a lot of weight to lose, it's going to be a journey. But the headspace changes do happen within the 6 to 7 weeks of our face-to-face work or our workshops. And then it's just a matter of staying focused, continuing to your work with the PS Tech, continuing to do some tapping, and reaping the rewards and benefits of achieving your natural weight and increasing your self-esteem. Lizzie?
Yes, the other thing that I've noticed with clients is that once they start eating better quality food,
yes,
they lose the fuzz in the head, is how they describe it. They start to feel clearer in their minds.
Mm.
They're feeling more energized. And it's very easy working with EFT and PS Tech to help them shift their cravings for the junk food, which is, you know, for a lot of people, that's quite a problem. They can then drive past some of the fast food places and it just doesn't bother them.
That's true. And we see it with clients who say that in their office, in their workplace, people bring in cakes all the time. And they used to eat the cakes and the cookies in the office. And we just PS Tech that away. And the cakes are still going to turn up. But they're just not interested. They don't feel like they're missing out. They just don't want them. Really painlessly. They're surprised. They smile to themselves how easy it is for them just to say, no thanks, it's fine.
What about some serious, though, side effects of being overweight, things like diabetes, those kind of issues? You know, what are the challenges there?
Clients with diabetes are more and more common, and they respond incredibly well to the food plan, to the eat plan, because it's very low carbohydrates and higher protein levels. So their morning blood sugar levels, and I've had this from several clients now, have vastly improved, and a couple of my guys have gone back to their doctors and lowered their medication because they've lost so much weight. They don't need as much meds now. And Liz, you know well that you can correct diabetes with healthy eating.
Yes, we're talking here diabetes 2, of course. Diabetes 1
yeah.
is not correctable, but diabetes 2 is certainly correctable through diet. And I'm seeing that more and more with clients that I've had 3 clients that have, in you know, working with their GPs, as they've lost the weight and got off the junk food, have completely
yeah.
come off the meds for diabetes too. It's wonderful to see.
It is wonderful to
see. They're able to control it with the diet.
They are.
Well, with their food, yeah.
And what we've also done, part of the work with people who have type 2 diabetes, is it's a highly medicalized condition, and they often feel really powerless about how they can have an impact on their health and well-being. So we put them back in touch with their own personal power through the EFT and PS Tech, and through the hypnotherapy work too. so that they're able to tap into their own power and influence their behavior and make changes because they feel more optimistic about the outcome. So that's vital. And then with that, again, their self-esteem rises because often they feel really shameful and guilty that they've put on so much weight and then given themselves a chronic disease. That's how they see it. They feel very ashamed. You take away that sense of shame and failure and put them back into a powerful place from where they can make the changes.
I was reading an article, I'm not going to go into all the details, but they mentioned three elements absolutely necessary for permanent weight loss. Permanent weight loss when you have a weight issue goes along with achieving your natural weight. If you permanently lost the weight, the extra weight, well, now you've achieved your natural weight and you're feeling balanced, I guess, which is a good word that you mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
Eating moderately, exercising regularly, changing your old eating habits. And again, consciously, people know, they have an idea how they should eat or at least how they shouldn't eat. But it's always hard to change, and it reminds me of something else I found here on, there was a study done where they compared the Atkins diet, the Ornish diet, the Weight Watchers diet, the Zone diets, haven't heard of that one, anyway, for weight loss and heart disease risk reduction. And their conclusion was each popular diet modestly reduced the body weight and several cardiac risk factors at the first year after they started the diet. The overall dietary adherence rates were really low, although increased adherence was associated with greater weight loss and cardiac risk factor reductions for each diet group. So what they're saying is poor sustainability and adherence rates resulted in just moderate weight loss and cardiac risk reduction for each group as a whole. So it's not getting on a diet. It's about adhering to a diet that's sensible, if you will, right?
Well, I think Liz and I would go further than that. I mean, we both, in Australia and in England, seen clients who've had gastric surgery, bariatric surgery, and lost a lot of weight, and then regained a lot of weight. And we've both had clients who've been on meal replacement diets for months after interminable months and lost lots and lots of weight and gained back lots and lots of weight. The whole thing about dieting, the whole thing about bariatric surgery, the whole thing about meal replacements, none of this resolves the unconscious reasons for emotional overeating. And that's our core work. Our work isn't really ever about the food. It's not about the food. It's about the emotional drivers compelling you to eat when you're not hungry and the fears and the old patterns of self-sabotaging behavior. That's our work.
That's what gives the sustainability to whatever diet they choose. And again, I don't mean, because the bottom line is if you don't have those drivers, those emotional drivers, you're not going to want to eat chocolate cake four times a day, right?
That's right. You're not.
When you're dieting, you're working only with the conscious mind.
Right.
Yes.
So what you need to do is resolve the issues in the subconscious mind. That's the powerhouse. The subconscious mind is the thing that will push you to eat when you don't need to, will push you to eat to anesthetize feelings that maybe you don't want to experience. But the limitation with a diet is it only ever works with the conscious mind. And until the issues in the subconscious mind are resolved, the subconscious mind is going to win.
Yes.
Always.
And I think that you're absolutely right. And I think I mentioned it earlier that this will be the last time they'll lose this weight, because it'll be the last time they'll need to lose this weight, and the weight will reduce and they'll achieve their natural weight because body and mind are in accord, agreeing on the same goal for the first time probably in their lives.
So yeah, what I'm reading in this article, and again, without going into a lot of the details, what they're saying as well is only when subconscious changes are activated will your weight loss become permanent. I'm finding this in several places. It's not like it's, you know, a brand new discovery, right?
No, No, it's not.
But you know, pardon my French here. So we're going to go to another country. Why the hell is this not? Why is this not happening in a larger scale? Maybe I'm being a little confrontational here. Not with you, but I mean in general.
I'm amazed.
I generally don't think people know how to do it. A lot of counselors, people in those fields, are still generally working with the conscious mind only.
Yeah.
And that's one of the beauties of EFT, but also especially PS Tech, in that it clears out the emotional stuff very, very quickly. And a lot of these, you know, it's relatively recent, isn't it? Especially PS Tech, that, you know, people
Absolutely.
Have been working with it. And it's transformed my practice.
Yes, mine too. And when you look at the health service here in England, the NHS use cognitive behavioural therapy at their obesity clinics. But food, eating issues and food are complex and profound. And EFT and PS Tech are really intuitive tools, therapeutic tools, that I think work much better with this complex issue than CBT ever can.
Well, CBT is again a conscious process.
Behavior change. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other part of this is, in order to not make this a 7-year project, you know, for someone to lose weight and achieve their natural weight, dismantling this complexity little piece by piece and working your way back, that could take a long time. But what I see with EFT and PS Tech, as far as my experience with some other issues, is we can get to these foundational stones of the mind model that's keeping this weight on and pull them out, and this complex structure of the mind that keeps this weight coming on is able to collapse a little more quickly.
Absolutely.
Right.
Especially with EFT as well, because you just, if you come up with a whole bunch of subconscious drivers to overeating, take the one with the biggest emotional load. Go for the big one. EFT and tap it out, or PS Tech it down. Work from the big issues, the ones with the most emotional intensity attached to them. Work on the big ones first, and you'll be amazed how many of the smaller trees are just felled at the same time. And you'll just look around, and those issues won't be there for you anymore. They'll be gone. They'll be released.
So you're using EFT, PS Tech, hypnosis in your treatment of this issue. How would you, you know, summarize the use of one versus the other? You know, when does each one come in to the picture here, to the story?
EFT is very, very good for discovering what the resistance is, what the reasons are for the overeating. It's wonderful for bringing to mind old memories, etc., that need to be cleared. You can then tap them out, but what I prefer to do is just PS Tech them once they're there, because I find that much faster, you know, as a personal preference. And what the hypnosis does after that is to reinforce the changes, the gentle suggestions as you're in that lovely relaxed state, just reinforces the changes, and we find that, you know, generally that is permanent.
So you're using EFT and PS Tech as a little tag team.
That's right, we are.
And then you're bringing in hypnosis. But I also noticed you had PS Tech Positive, so, which has an element as well, but you're bringing in those aspects to really reinforce the change. So what you're doing with people is you're not only clearing up these traps, as I call them, the subconscious traps, to sending them back to their old unnatural weight, you're clearing that up with them, but you're also implementing suggestions of their natural weight, their ideal weight and way of being, I guess, right?
That's true. And also with EFT, that part of the process of saying things out loud and bearing witness to where they've been and what they've been through, perhaps, or some of their beliefs, saying things out loud can be incredibly empowering, because they can see the absurdity sometimes, they can see the craziness and just let it go. Sometimes they're holding secrets that they've never spoken, and just being able to, in a safe place, say things out to the universe, steals their power, takes away the power of the statements. They can see them for what they were, kind of outmoded beliefs that they no longer need, that don't serve them. And then PS Tech is great for just collapsing any residual intensity to those beliefs. They are a great tag team.
I'm looking at kind of a starting place for people, and that's your book. Now, you have the book available, but you also have some other extras in there, if you will. You have several videos, some audios that deal with EFT scripts, etc. You also have some hypnotic audios as well in there, a lot of good stuff. I'm assuming here that with the book and the things that come with the book there, that, and the other thing you're doing is offering a public forum to answer some questions and stuff and kind of be a resource for people, which is very cool. So I'm imagining, okay, some people can take this book with all the information. There's over 100 pages, and the audios, the videos, and also some PDF downloads for handouts and things so they can kind of track themselves and stay on track. So I'm imagining some people can take that and just do it on their own. Does that sound right?
That's our aim, is that it's a standalone book with all the resources that anyone would need to achieve significant shifts.
What are some great little hints, if you will, or points of emphasis when people are doing this on their own without anyone to help them other than the resources you have, like online and the book and whatnot? You know, what are a couple things to really watch out for, what they can do to ensure their success with this?
What I see all the time with clients is their level of self-loathing and low self-esteem, and some gentle forgiveness work, some gentle self-forgiveness work would be really key to sticking at the coursework, making changes, achieving what you want to achieve, but in a kind and gentle way to yourself, in a forgiving way. This is not about beating yourself up. This is not about negative judgments about yourself or from anyone else. This is about taking today as the first day. So self-forgiveness.
So you're saying with the level of self-loathing, begin with the EFT and PS Tech, like the click tracks and et cetera, and working on the self-loathing aspects, begin to clear that up so you can allow that self-forgiveness to come through, right?
Absolutely. And you can allow changes in behavior to come through because you're not working from a stuck position. Anything that it's all resistance work. So when you come up to another obstacle, it's just more resistance work. It's just more work. And in a way, you have to thank it for bringing itself into awareness, because when it's brought into awareness, then you can work on it. So everything that comes up, that you go to yourself, oh gosh, there's more stuff. It's okay. It's okay there's more stuff, because it's coming up into your awareness and you can resolve it and release it.
How about you, Liz? Do you have there's something for people to realize when they're working on their own, something really important or a common pitfall, something that they can look at, something that they can pay attention to, be aware of, and more likelihood of success with this?
I think persistence too is key. I think it's working through the layers and understanding that, you know, the problem wasn't created in 5 minutes. And despite what, you know, some of the diets promise, it can't be fixed in 5 minutes. So persistence really is key. Just working gently through the layers, and I think people will find that, you know, the issues will clear much more quickly than they think, but it is not going to happen overnight. But just be patient and persistent. Just keep at it. And just in a few weeks, you know, they'll get out of bed and start feeling totally different about themselves and feeling more positive,
yeah,
feeling confident, feeling as though they're starting to feel in control of something that has basically controlled them.
So it sounds like this gentle thing really is the key word. And I'm glad you said that in a way. It always reminds me, a good friend of mine here on the island says, self-awareness without self-kindness is self-abuse.
Oh, yes, for sure.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And our clients are very hard on themselves. They are their biggest critic.
Yeah.
They are immensely hard on themselves.
I know Tim said it over and over many times. He said, you know, therapy is not hard work. The harder you go after it, the harder time you're going to have. Take it easy. Just
yeah.
go through it. Just go. And Liz was touching on that and talking about it, actually. Persistence, just go through the work. Just go through
yeah.
it. I think when you begin to, instead of work, you change it into play, you know, as soon as you can. Sometimes when you first start, it does seem like work, and that's okay. But eventually it does turn to play, I believe.
That's true.
I think you can have a lot of fun and see the humor in what you're doing.
Yeah.
I find that in the therapy sessions in my clinic, we laugh such a lot.
Yes,
and
true.
Laughter is wonderful.
I wanted to address this last little piece here. There are some people that aren't going to be able to do it on their own. Now, I know there's some extreme examples, like somebody has a real heavy eating disorder, bulimia, anorexia.
Yeah.
I know you had mentioned, well, that's really best to work one-on-one with somebody on something like that, or if they have a diagnosed psychological issue, maybe bipolar, those kind of things.
Maybe sure.
Better off working with someone one-on-one, right?
But yes.
Take those extreme examples and put them aside just for a moment. We're not going to forget about them, don't worry. And we have addressed them. They really should work one-on-one with somebody. Other than that, though, some people just have a hard time doing it on their own. They need their hand held a little bit, and some of the things that you've put together, and it looks to me like you have some levels of help. You know, some people need their hand held maybe just in the beginning a little bit, some just for the first round of 6-7 weeks. Maybe somebody needs hand-holding for a year. And it seems like you're putting together some things here to help people through the various stages, but also, you know, some people need more help than others. Tell me a little bit about how are you going to be able to help people?
We have, as well as the book as a standalone product, we have created a workbook to accompany the Achieve Your Natural Weight, which gives a kind of session-by-session approach for people to do their work so it doesn't feel like it's this overwhelming my weight issue. They can tackle it in bite-sized pieces and work through the workbook. Which is another way of kind of, you know, giving shape and assistance to people who are anxious about working on their own. And also we have dates scheduled throughout the year for regular webinars where Liz and I will work together facilitating online small groups of a maximum of 8 participants and where we will take them through the book and the workbook with adding in different resources as they organically kind of arise in the group. So if people want to be part of that small group, then they can look at the website for the next available dates and apply to join one of our webinars. So there's that intensive kind of...
When you're doing the small groups, though, it's not a lecture, is it? Are they getting some individual attention, too?
It's a participatory forum of 8 clients and 2 facilitators. We're able to give really good one-on-one work. And we'll do a recap at the end of, they'll get stuff to look at during the intervening time between sessions. And we'll start the session by recapping over their own individual work and what's come up for them. And then we'll work throughout that session to help them release and resolve whatever issues are pressing for them around food and emotional overeating.
So as a little group, they're kind of working together in a way. Let's call it a little supportive, if you will. They don't feel so alone, if you will, or on their own.
Well, it's an empowering, facilitating group. I mean, support groups, they can get stuck in their behavior as well. But what we're moving people along at their pace and as their resistance to change collapses, gently and effortlessly, in a non-judgmental and completely safe way to hold their space for them while they make these changes.
You also have something here I see called 12-month intensives. What's that about?
We're doing these little intensive kits of a hypnotherapy script and an EFT script and some pointers on how to apply PS Tech to specific issues that might be part of a person's weight loss journey. So they can be around the frustration when you hit a plateau of weight, so that you can, you know, get below your next, get off the plateau again and continue to on your path to achieving your natural weight. Or they can be about cravings, food cravings, chocolate addiction. Really highly focused, intense little packages for just to collapse specific issues that people might have, commonly have on their journey.
And you had something else here called live responsive packs, and that sounds kind of similar to what you were just talking about in another. Tell me a little bit about those real quick.
We're happy to just generate audio recordings, hypnotic audio recordings, and EFT pointers and scripts on things that come up on the forum from people who are signed in, or things that come up in our group sessions that we'll just, or with Christmas, when Christmas approaches, that's a period of stress for some people with eating issues. So we'll just do targeted little releases regularly just to address whatever's around for people at that time, whatever we feel is the most appropriate way of sending out some assistance, just lending a hand.
So you have various things there. They're not just address things generally and leave it to people's own device to find their issues and clear them and move along. But you also have specific ones they can also, again, do on their own that'll help walk them through some specific issues, like you mentioned, chocolate cravings, which is, of course, pretty common, self-forgiveness, positive regard, flourishing.
Yeah.
You had something here, loving my body, motivation to exercise. Those are real specific things because someone could, let's say, have a real easy time on the eating issue, and maybe even they have a pretty good self-esteem, but exercise ain't going to happen.
Absolutely. Yeah, that kind of thing. And that will just knock it into touch. It'll just, the little intensives, whatever the issue is, they're just designed to just knock it into touch and just release and let go.
And then as you move along, if someone wants to go with a group, it can be a little more affordable. They can do that and get some nice support from you, Liz, even a little bit from the group. Just being with a group sometimes can be helpful if facilitators are moving things along, like you said. It's a great point. And then you also do one-on-one private sessions with people. The one question I had on that is, I know you guys are in Melbourne and then London. Do you also do private sessions over Skype, phone, et cetera, around the world?
Yes, we do.
We both have clients, yeah. During Skype calls or long-distance phone calls, tend to do the majority of the work using EFT and then work with the client to establish how and what they want to work with with PS Tech when they're offline, so that we're not using the valuable communication time for them to run through the PS Tech tracks. Often, organically from the session and what's presented, we'll then record a focused hypnotherapy, just a 15-20 minute audio recording, and just be able to email that to them as an MP3 so they can put it onto their iTunes and then just download it onto their headphone thing. And that's been working really well with clients on a whole heap of presenting issues, but of course our weight work is the most prominent for us.
Well, I'm looking over my notes, and I have far too much here to summarize, but I just wanted to say that there's a lot of good things in here. I appreciate your level of commitment to making things gentle and kind of an ease that's going on here. That's the sense that I'm getting. And you're actually being very plain on that, and I appreciate that. I appreciate this approach that you have about normalizing their relationship with food or balancing it, giving them an empowered relationship with food, and really focusing on bringing out those hidden feelings, beliefs, behaviors, the resistance, the fear, handling it once and for all, and the goal being permanent weight loss. I mean, actually, in coming up with an empowering lifestyle, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially to watch these to watch these aspects of self, the level of self-loathing, and really look to address those issues and apply gentle forgiveness, and also to persist, but in an easy, gentle way, you know, working gently, working through the issues, not really attacking them, but just they come up, okay, work in the ways that you're instructing in the book and all the other ways, release those, let them go, move on, moving toward your natural weight, and if something comes up, okay, move it out, you just let it go. Not even really even move it out of the way, you just let it go out of the way, it sounds like. Sally, Liz, do you have anything to add to this? Any final words here?
I think I could speak for both Liz and I to say that it's our heart's work. It's the best work when you can see the changes in our clients and how the changes in how their voice modulates, how they look, the animation on their face. You just mentioned it's about lifestyle, but really it's about life choices, and it's about choosing to really be alive. It's very, very exciting. And I can't stress enough that it comes from a position from a place of self-worth and self-empowerment. That you're doing this for you, and it starts today.
Well, very good. I appreciate both of you coming on with me and sharing all of this with everyone. Talked about a lot of the problems and some of the solutions, gave some hints here and some great tips. But I also wanted to emphasize that you guys have some excellent tools, both for the do-it-yourselfer and the person needs a little help, and then a little more, and maybe a little more, or a lot more. There's a lot of choices.
Yeah.
Again, we kind of touched on them, of course, but I'm not going to go over them all here. I'm going to encourage everyone to visit the website, achieveyournaturalweight.com. That's A-C-H-I-E-V-E, achieve, your, Y-O-U-R, natural, N-A-T-U-R-A-L, weight, W-E-I-G-H-T.com, all strung together, no dashes, no nothing, just achieveyournaturalweight.com. And on there, there's also a place to be able to contact, you know, Liz or Sally, and all sorts of resources on there. You have to take a look at it, start with the book, and then if you need more help, believe me, all the help is there. There's a lot of stuff on there. Again, I appreciate you, Sally. Thank you very much for coming on again.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks,
Lizzie.
On with this. I really appreciate it. Everybody, if you down below this recording, leave your comments. At least a thank you to these two wonderful ladies for putting all of this together and coming on with us. Take good care. Again, I appreciate everybody listening in. This is Jeff Harding with GS Tech. Take good care. Keep pushing. Aloha.